SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, the morning after, live on this Friday on Sports Grid and Sirius XM channel 159, the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM, all across the Sports Grid network. I am Ben Stevens. Yesterday was the final day of the month of June. Today is the first day of the month of July. Yesterday's final day in June was one of the most bonkers we can remember in the world of sports. So as we start a new month on the final day of this week, here on the morning after on Sports Grid, let's take a deep breath and reset what we have all seen. So, one of the biggest stories of the day, Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets right before 3 p.m. Eastern time on the day that began NBA free agency. It was a trade request that truly was the topic of conversation around the association. Sham Sharania of The Athletic and Stadium reporting, Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets, which meant immediate movement in the marketplace when it comes to the NBA championship and the odds for this upcoming 2022-23 NBA campaign. Not only did Brooklyn slide down the board from a price at 7-1 yesterday to 36-1 as it stands right now, the fifth best odds yesterday behind four co-favorites, now the 12th best price in the National Basketball Association. KD's preferred trade destination was listed and reported as the Phoenix Suns. They shoot up this board from 10-1 now to 6-1, co-favorites alongside Milwaukee and Boston as well. And that wasn't even until we got to the start of free agency yesterday at 6 p.m. Eastern time that continued to move the market. Jalen Brunson going to New York. Nikola Jokic signing a huge supermax deal with the Denver Nuggets, the two-time reigning NBA MVP. More news on this morning as well. Zion Williamson has signed a rookie max extension to stay in New Orleans through the 2027 season to play with the New Orleans Pelicans. So that will alter the landscape of the Western Conference, but nobody quite affects the league and the ripple effects we will feel like Kevin Durant asking for a trade request from the Brooklyn Nets. What does that mean for Kyrie Irving and the rest of the East? We shall see. And that happened, the news we got about Kevin Durant wanting to get out of Brooklyn, just about 30 minutes after we got a huge developing story from the Big Ten Conference and formerly teams that will play in the Pac-12, USC and UCLA, changing the nature of college football, college hoops, really all of college athletics as we know it. The Big Ten now spanning coast to coast. This initial report from John Wilner about 2 p.m. Eastern time yesterday became official after Big Ten league presidents and chancellors voted on it around 6 p.m. Eastern time, approving USC and UCLA to join the conference. They are set to do so starting in 2024. From sea to shining sea on this holiday weekend, now maybe the motto of the Big Ten Conference. When you add two huge brand names in Los Angeles like USC and UCLA, the TV rights contracts we can expect for the Big Ten coming up are going to be substantial. Already reported north of $1 billion with a B, dollars per year. That's probably looking closer to $2 billion by the time this is all said and done, and maybe with the addition of more teams. Oregon, Washington reported, and a very natural fit with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as well. Super leagues on the horizon in college sports, all part of conference realignment as we have seen it in the last decade or so. A welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience here, the second hour of the morning after, live on this Friday, all across the grid, Sirius XM, channel 159, our terrestrial radio affiliates as well. I am Ben Stevens, resetting a wild day in the world of sports and what it all means right here, right now, live on a Friday morning. So that all is happening in 2024 when USC and UCLA join the Big Ten. No effect on the odds for this upcoming year, for 2022, where Ohio State finds themselves as a heavy odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten Conference at minus 200. The best odds of any team to win any conference at the Power 5 level right now, available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. In the Pac-12, USC is your favorite at plus 150. UCLA, the fourth best odds at 12-1. So that is what college sports is. The present blended with the future and the optimism we always have for college athletics. But that's not the only thing happening right now. On the actual playing surfaces at the All England Club at Wimbledon, a big day yesterday in the second round. Rafael Nadal taking care of business in four sets to advance through this run in Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic on the court today. He is your heavy odds on favorite to win the Wimbledon men's outright title, greater than a $4,500 favorite or price favorite today in his matchup that Novak will play later. So Nadal in four sets, he advances on as well. The bracket setting up very well for Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal to potentially see each other in a men's championship final. Also an update from the women's side of things, where Iga Swiatek is the favorite at Wimbledon with a short price. She takes care of business in three sets yesterday in her second round matchup. And Coco Gauff, who has the fifth best price on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now to win the women's championship at Wimbledon, gets it done in straight sets as well. Trying to reset all that we have seen here in a wild week in the world of sports. This is summer. It's the first day of July. It's supposed to be a quiet time in the world of sports. Not so fast, as the Big Ten Conference and Kevin Durant all meshed in with everything else currently going on the sports landscape. We hit the streets of New York City up next for a fun edition of Benny and the Bets. Stay with us and come back and join us as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today is Friday, July 1st, the start of a new month to set up your holiday weekend. Welcome back to This Friday, live on the morning after on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here to end out your week. Now, the July 4th weekend means a ton to a lot of people, but probably some of your plans include a grill out, a barbecue, and you better have some hot dogs on that grill. Maybe some hamburgers, some cheeseburgers as well, but hot dogs, a storyline for sure. And of course, it is always a celebration at the corner of Surf and Stillwell on Coney Island for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Chestnut, a very, very heavy favorite to repeat as champion. So on this week's Benny and the Bets, we hit the streets of New York to find out how New Yorkers feel about hot dogs, to bring the festivities and what they feel about this July 4th treat. So let's take a moment here. Let's take a deep breath, as our guy Alex Fasano often says, and let's hit the streets of New York City for Benny and the Bets.
It's 4th of July weekend. For some people, that means fireworks. For others, it means pool parties. Of course, for everyone, it means sports. But for me, it's all about the hot dogs. Today, we hit the streets of New York to find out how New Yorkers feel about a hot dog. How do you feel about hot dogs? You like hot dogs?
Yeah, when I was younger, but I don't eat them anymore. They're not healthy, so.
How do you feel about hot dogs?
I like hot dogs. What?
You like hot dogs?
Hot dogs are pretty good.
Hot dogs?
You like hot dogs?
It depends what type of hot dogs are we talking about, but really, do you like hot dogs?
I do like hot dogs.
Are we talking about food? You gonna buy me food?
No.
I like them.
Love hot dogs.
No. No?
No.
I'm fine with hot dogs, yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're really good.
What do you put on your hot dog?
Mustard, ketchup.
Ketchup.
Mustard.
Mustard.
Only mustard.
That's it.
Ketchup.
Just ketchup.
Just ketchup.
Mustard, ketchup.
Ketchup and mustard.
I'm gonna say mustard, ketchup.
Mustard, ketchup, and relish.
And cheese.
Cheese, a cheese dog. You are a cheese dog guy.
Chicago dog.
I mean, I never had one. I saw the pickles and it kind of threw me off.
Yeah, it's a little freaky. If I say Joey Chestnut, do you know who that is?
No. I have no idea.
Yeah, he eats hot dogs.
Champion hot dog eater.
The hot dog contest eater guy.
He is that hot dog contest eater guy. He had 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes last year in Coney Island. How many could you eat in a minute?
Two.
Just two?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
I don't think more than three. I don't think I'd even get to a minute.
You don't think you get to a minute, you're just done.
Yeah.
Depends, are they kosher?
They are.
Three?
Without great pleasure, five.
Five?
Yeah, six, seven maybe.
As a competition?
Yeah.
Eight.
I'm gonna honestly say probably about 17.
17 hot dogs in a minute. I believe in you. I think you can get 10 in a minute.
I think I'll throw up.
70.
Your dad could eat 70 hot dogs. You could eat 70 hot dogs in 1 minute. That's more than a hot dog per second.
Yeah.
Do you think a hot dog's a sandwich?
That's a great question. I've never thought about it, but I would say no.
No?
No.
No.
Completely different. Depends on who you ask. If you ask me, it's a no.
I was asking you.
No.
I'm gonna say yes, because I also think like a quesadilla is a sandwich.
That's crazy talking.
Yeah.
Ooh, very, very debatable question.
Yes.
Why?
It's in between bread.
Hot dog's a hot dog.
Nah.
Why?
A hot dog's a hot dog.
A hot dog is a hot dog. You think that's a motto maybe we take in life?
100, maybe.
Can I get a hot dog, please? Can I get ketchup and mustard on that as well? Thank you so much. An absolute beauty. Have a great weekend, everybody. So much mustard falling off of that hot dog. None on my clothes, though, which was key, but a really good glizzy in the streets of New York City. A man that knows a thing or two about hot dogs as well, our producer, here on The Morning After, each and every morning on a daily basis for TMA and Sports Grid. John James, I ask you, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I'm going with no, resounding no for a hot dog is not a sandwich. Let's not overthink it, everyone. Ben, we do not need to think too deeply about this question. If you say, let's go get sandwiches, you want to go get a sandwich with me after work, we're thinking about cutlets. We're thinking about some of these other great sandwich shops around. Best Bagel, good plug there for one of our favorite places, Ben. But I'm no free ads. But I'm not thinking about a hot dog. If you tell me, let's go get a sandwich, I'm thinking, all right, let's go get some chicken cutlet, pesto mozzarella with a little tomato on there. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, you dirty dog, but I would agree with the assessment out there you heard in the streets. A hot dog is a hot dog. It doesn't have to be a sandwich. It doesn't have to not be a sandwich. It can just be what it is. And I appreciate that perspective heading into this holiday weekend. You know what the people appreciate even more, Shamesy guy? The producer plays, the sharp handicappers here on The Morning After, and giving some picks for profitability entering this holiday weekend. So, Shames, please start with your own pick that the people are going to make some money off of.
Well, Ben, I'm regretful to inform you that I do not have my own pick today, because as far as I can tell, the FanDuel Sportsbook not hanging free agency props for the NBA. And, you know, that's where I like to make my pretty penny. But we got our full staff in the mix here, and we're starting things out with Bocce, Drew Bocce, back on the scene on this fine Friday. He's going Aaron Judge. Three plus bases here for Aaron Judge, the MVP candidate right now. I mean, Ben, Aaron Judge is playing some great baseball. Struggling a couple weeks ago, but he is finding his form again and hit a nice dinger a couple nights ago. What are you thinking about this play from Bocce here?
Your minus money odds on favorite to win that American League MVP at minus 125. Now, Bocce can't be here to detail the pick himself because he sounds like this and he can't really talk all that well. So that's why Bocce had to give his play through the mouth of John Shames. Bocce needs something to go right, Shamesy guy. As you know, a diehard Nets fan whose phone screensaver used to be Kevin Durant. And it was KD until yesterday afternoon. Bocce, also a fan of the Pinstripes, needs something positive entering this holiday weekend. Aaron Judge, three or more bases at plus 105. I don't mind it, because a home run certainly accomplishes all three of those bases in one swing.
Certainly so, and definitely one of the guys who can do that in a heartbeat, Ben. And sticking in the American League East, our guy JJ, an intern on the show, going with the Red Sox run line here, minus 1.5 at plus 112 versus the Chicago Cubs today. The Red Sox playing some great baseball recently, Ben. 8-2 in their last 10. Chicago just about even there in their last 10 games. Ben, what do you think of this game? I like JJ getting some plus money here on a team that is absolutely rolling right now.
Because they are a very heavy favorite on that money line. JJ, a sharp handicap there, goes to Boston, the fourth best run line team in all of the bigs. But Shamesy guy, when it comes to making sharp plays here, for our producers, it's our graphics producer, Jesse Metzger, that really brings it all home.
Oh, it certainly is. And Jesse is coming in with a run line play himself. Sorry, a money line play, I should say. Oh. The Marlins versus the Nationals right now. Marlins also playing well recently in the Nationals. We know one of the struggling teams out there in the NL this year, Ben. I think Jesse, I mean, I know from what I've learned so far coming on this program, when Jesse gives a pick, you back that right. pick, especially when it's for plus money. Jesse, I'm riding with you here, buddy.
Against the Washington Nationals, the Nats are booked as a home favorite at minus 138 in a Major League Baseball contest. I agree with Jesse. Let's take some money on the fish, plus 118. Shamesy guy, how many hot dogs could you eat in a minute?
So I'm actually really happy you asked this, Ben, because this has actually been something I have debated with myself and with my peers for a long time. I am known to be a ferocious eater. When I get on the scene, I can get it done quick, Ben. You know me. But for my regular meals, I'm throwing it down in five or less. So put me in a competitive setting. Joey Chestnut on my right, Matt Stoney on my left. Some good competition to bring it out of me. I think in 1 minute, I think I could do 12 hot dogs, Ben, with ease, I would say. Over the course of 10 minutes, I don't know. I think you might be looking at in the 50s, maybe. That's the number I'm aiming for.
That was one of the most blatant lies I've ever heard on this program, that you could do 12 hot dogs in a minute. I think after all the NBA free agency calms down, we have John Shames do that on a segment here on The Morning After. A huge fight night, UFC 276. Zach Parnes joins the show up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge fight night in the UFC. UFC 276 on Saturday. So we detail what you can expect this holiday weekend. Welcome back to The Morning After, live on this Friday on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Very pleased right now to welcome on my good friend, doing weird things on the camera currently. It is Zach Parnes. He is the sports director for the Delmarva Sports Network, but also the lead announcer for Stellar Fights. He covers everything MMA. Here to give you some approaches and picks for UFC 276 this weekend. Parnsy guy, thank you very much for joining us.
Nathan's hot dogs. That's all I'm thinking about right now, Ben. But let's get to fight talk because, you know,
we need you to talk.
I feel like that was a couple minutes ago.
Yeah. We need you in the present right now, ready for UFC 276. I have no doubt that you will do so. Let's start with the main event. Israel Adesanya, the style bender. Against Jared, I forgot how to pronounce his last name, even though you told me 5 seconds before we came back from commercial break. But Israel Adesanya, a heavy, heavy favorite at minus 520. And let's focus on that price first, Parnes. How do you evaluate such a substantial number when a guy is expected to win this fight at a greater than $5 price?
Very difficult to say, Ben. I know it throws a lot of people off, but there's a reason that style bender has such unbelievably difficult odds to work with. He has been the force in the middleweight division. A lot of people think that this fight for Cannoneer isn't almost deserved. I mean, the guy is 5-1 in his last six, granted, but Izzy's basically knocked everybody out of the division so far. There hasn't been a single worthy title contender at middleweight. Izzy played with the idea of going up to light heavyweight, was kind of overpowered by Jan Blachowicz. So now he's back at 185 and getting the opportunity to do real damage. But this fight is really exciting just because of the striking prowess that both of these guys have had. Izzy usually is going up against guys who are elite level wrestlers or somebody who really can force his hand when he gets taken down or force the opportunity to take him down. And Cannoneer fights the exact same way as the style bender. There's going to be lots of fists of fury thrown. We see that Jared tends to go for a bit more of KO shots, but Izzy, looking at that minus 520, it's hard not to understand why. He's typically a strike you from distance, be able to get back into his own game kind of thing. His jutsu is always going on. He's throwing those hand things at all hours, and I expect him to do the same against Jared Cannoneer, especially with 3 inches of additional reach, which I think is going to be the tail of or the stat of the tape here in this one. I just think that Izzy overall is still worth a potential lay, but Once again, at minus 520, it's going to cost you a pretty penny, but I think it'll turn positively for anyone who backs Stylebender on Saturday.
Jared Cannonier, as I said, welcoming Zach back on from the break, the main event against Israel Adesanya. So deserving of that minus 520 price, but maybe not a price we're willing to pay, Parnes, for that main event for UFC 276. So we can dive deeper into some of the props, the method of victory for this matchup between Adesanya and Cannonier. And the shortest outcome right now is Izzy by points at plus 120. So I ask you, Zach, what do you think is the most likely outcome to end this fight between Adesanya and Cannonier?
Yeah, give me that one that's at plus 120 right there. I mean, Izzy has the ability to knock somebody out, to end the fight in a flash. I think that that's your second best option, hence why it is the second best odds. But both of these gentlemen are going to be standing throughout the entire fight. Cannonier, though, with an almost iron-like chin, he's only been KO'd twice in his whole career, and both of them were from very significant shots. I like the fact that Izzy, you know, is always able to sort of regain his pace throughout the championship rounds of four and five. We've seen his bouts go the distance a number of times, even if there are the weird fights against, you know, Paulo Costa or, you know, Marvin Vettori as well, or having the opportunity to see Izzy go even deeper on his striking element as we've seen in the past. But I just don't think that there's any value worth playing besides the points here, simply because we know Adesanya's best skill is to hit and not get hit in return. You take a look at his striking over the last couple of years. It really hasn't been challenged by anybody. Cannonier, probably the most worthy challenger since Paulo Costa came to fight this guy. But overall, I think it's going to go decision. The question is which way you lean. And in my mind, it's Adesanya. So if you are going to take Izzy, you're thinking about that minus 520. You might as well just save yourself some value here and go for the decision and maybe sprinkle in a little bit of KO. Do yourself some salt bay there. But I think that Izzy is the play in this fight. Cannonier, although he's looked very polished and powerful as of late, it is hard to hit the Nigerian-born Stylebender, who is going to push everything he can to be able to make a sixth title defense happen at middleweight.
A great breakdown of that bout, a championship belt on the line between Adesanya and Cannonier. And you mentioned those championship rounds, round four, round five. That is the over-under for the total rounds prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 4.5, the juice even on both sides of that over and that under at minus 112. So, Parnes, do you think we see this fight go the distance between Izzy and Jared?
Yes, that's why I'm touting the decision. I think that this is the most interesting kind of under prop here, though, at minus 112, simply because go look at a lot of Adesanya's other fights. Those unders, they are not that generous to you. They're typically a lot heavier at plus 200 to plus 300. We're looking at significant value in those, but they rarely ever hit. So I even hesitate to call it value because, once again, Izzy does a great job of peppering you, knows how to be able to close that inside distance at maybe a moment's notice and then be able to get back to his base, get back, reestablish himself with some push kicks, some spinning back kicks, etc., to be able to threaten his opponent and reset that distance control. Additionally, Adesanya, when he's taken down in the past, does a great job of springing back to his feet. We don't see Jared Cannonier shoot for many takedowns, though. I think that these guys stay on their feet for likely the entire 25 minutes, should it go that way. Only way that this does not come about, I don't even think from an Adesanya KO, I think it is Jared Cannonier potentially catching Izzy in a situation where he may be up against the cage, but Adesanya does not like to work with his back to that metal. It makes him feel a little outside of his element. So we know that he'll work center, start to circle inwards, and once he does that, that's going to elongate the rounds and hopefully give more value to that minus 112 in the over capacity.
The featherweight championship belt also on the line on Saturday night. Max Holloway, your underdog. Alexander Volkanovski is the favorite. Minus 215 for Volkanovski, plus 165, plus 164 for Holloway at the moment right now. Parnes on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What's the approach for this bout?
This is tough. anybody who really loves this sport knows that these two guys have just thrown absolute fists of fury in their last couple matchups. One of the most interesting things for me about Alexander Volkanovski, the former pro rugby player in Australia, this guy's a pure athlete through and through. But the thing that's fun with him is just the way that he is able to land strikes so effortlessly. These are two of the best boxers in the featherweight division. Holloway, often regarded as the best in the sport, but Volkanovski has been the one in his last three fights landing upwards of 100 significant strikes against Chan Sung Jung, against Max Holloway in their last bout as well. For those that don't know at home, this is the trilogy between these gentlemen. Yep. Volkanovski took fights one and two, but both by very close margins. Some fans think that Holloway actually got that win last time out. But now that these two get the opportunity to meet again, the odds are all over the place. Volkanovski's tanking 13% since it opened at minus 146, kind of in that minus 215 to minus 190 range, depending on where you're at. Holloway poses great value at plus 165, especially considering he opened at plus 120. But God, Ben, this is just so close to be able to call. Both of these guys, just adept striking masters. We saw them talk trash yesterday in the press conference, and it was so clearly forced because they have such respect for each other and the way that they've been able to go 50 minutes with each other already inside of the octagon. I expect that we see 25 more coming our way on Saturday. This one goes to decision in my mind as well. Volkanovski likely getting his hand raised in that regard, but I think we're leading up to that right here, so.
The odds certainly seem like they are working in favor of Volkanovski for the rematch against Max Holloway. One of the biggest stars in the sport in UFC parlance, as you know, the man known as the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley, a heavy favorite in his fight against Pedro Munhoz on Saturday. What is the play when you look at the Sugar Show for Saturday?
This is one of my A1 plays, Benjamin. You better hop on the sugar train right now because this gentleman knows how to do bad things after a loss. Last time out, had the opportunity to KO Raulin Paiva, but I'm talking about his loss to Marlon Vera back in 2020, which continues to motivate this young man who's got all kinds of weird colored hair and funny antics. But Sean O'Malley at plus 150 for KO is my play here on this one in particular because that money line value at minus 350 is so daunting. Reason being, we've seen O'Malley be able to use his 5 feet, 11 inches of length and immaculate reach to be able to get to these guys early and often. Last three fights, he's been able to win with KO opportunities, was knocked out by Vera beforehand. But look at the stats in all of that against Chris Moutinho. 230 significant strikes landed against Paiva, 39 significant strikes before the KO at the end of round one. That plus 160, 150, wherever you're getting it at right now as my microphone falls, I think is the total value that you need to look at if you're looking at the Sugar Show. This is a guy that, once again, is using that reach to be able to become one of the best strikers in the sport, landing 8.25 strikes per minute, significantly at least. This dude simply just likes to hit people and not get hit in return, and that's clearly an objective of this sport that we call mixed martial arts. I see great things for the Sugar Show. I think that he's a high prop for me in that plus 150, 160 category by KO. I also think the money line is worth parlaying if you're interested in doing that on a couple fights.
You can see the energy from Zach Parnes, so much so he knocked out his microphone, getting you ready for UFC 276 on Saturday. Parnes, thank you so much for your time. More TMA up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You might be thinking to yourself, all right, I know it was a crazy day in the world of sports, but as we get ready for this holiday weekend in the summer, aren't we going to talk some baseball on the morning after? Well, you've come to the right place. Major League Baseball Insight right now, heading into a very exciting weekend on the diamond. I am Ben Stevens. This is the morning after on a Friday, and joining us now for that MLB insight and analysis and some of the best bets, it is the man known as Drew Martin Betts, DMB. Back on the show. Drew, we are glad to have you here. Thank you for taking some time on this Friday morning.
Absolutely. Ben Stevens, producer John behind the scenes. Give me the call. I feel like, you know, that middle relief arm. You know, I was on the IL for about a 10-day stint. Hey, it's a big spot. I'm stepping in. I'm going to get you a couple key outs here, Ben, and hopefully find some winners. And plus the fact, Ben, what we get a tectonic shift in college football. You're known as Big Ten Ben. I've been known in some circles as SEC Drew. I always wish to see, you know, the Florida or the Auburn go up to Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa in the months of November and December. Hey, I might not get that just yet to see that happen, but we are going to get USC and UCLA and see that type of football happen in the cold weather late in the football season. I can't wait, man. Thanks for having me on.
Those dudes from Southern California are not going to know what hit them by the time they get to West Lafayette, Indiana, yeah, in late November to take on Purdue. It's going to be very, very frigid. The SEC changing the landscape of college football last year, adding Texas and Oklahoma. Conference realignment never slows down. The Big Ten yesterday approving the addition of USC and UCLA. All right, Drew, let's dive in to Major League Baseball, though. I would think of you more as our closer here as we end out this week on a Friday on the morning after. One game yesterday in Texas between the Astros and the Yankees that we saw for a four-game set this past weekend in the Bronx. They split those two. The fifth game in the last week goes to the Houston Astros. 2-1, a short victory yesterday for the Stros, Drew. But when you look at these two great teams, both often booked as a favorite on a daily basis in Major League Baseball, when they square off against each other, how do you bet these two stellar teams at the top of the American League?
Yeah, it's a tough handicap, especially the Battle of Luis's yesterday. Two good pitchers on the hill, it showed. And I was a little bit surprised because, yes, you bring up the fact this is number one and number two in the American League when they face off. I mean, going just by record-wise here, guys. Not only in the American League, actually when they faced off yesterday, it was number one and number two in all of MLB going just by wins here. And to see them go against each other to that 2-1 final, it kind of reminds me, you know, you always got to – kind of remind yourself going into this, guys, elite pitching can dominate elite hitting. And we kind of saw that yesterday to some degree. When they go up against each other, to answer your question here, Ben, just with what the Yankees have been able to put together, I mean, their record in June, their record overall, we haven't seen a team kind of put together this type of win-loss record this deep into the season. Remember, guys, we're now into July, July 1st here, Friday. I'm not wanting to step in front of the Yankees until further notice. I'm really not, Ben. So I would have taken the loss yesterday, that 2-1 loss. But to tell you the truth, it's one of those, at this point in the season, I am either betting on the Yankees or I'm staying away. I'm not looking to step in front of this kind of freight train coming through because it's a money printing machine right now. Even though they're covering these numbers, you're having to lay numbers until further changes, Ben. It's the Yankees are past, man.
I mean, Drew, there's not many times on this show we have given an update for a Major League Baseball daily slate and said the Yankees have lost a baseball game. 56-21 straight up this year. Still the best record by a large margin in all of the bigs, including over those Houston Astros. But the Yanks booked as your favorites to win the AL despite the loss yesterday, plus 175. The Stros, the second best price at plus 250. So, Drew, as you look across the American League, outside of New York, in Houston, who do you think will be some other challengers for the American League pennant race?
Well, looking at that right there, great slide from FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm not a huge fan of laying, you know, let's just say you're a $100 better. So you're going to risk $100 and get $175 back in what, the month of November on the Yankees. I don't really like that profile of bet. I never really have been. So I like to go down to double digits whenever I'm betting futures. So that kind of crosses off the Astros, the Jays there. Plus 600 on the Jays could be worth a look, I guess. Look, the Rays at plus 1,300. I'm actually looking to fade the Rays going forward. Maybe we can get into that in a little bit, game by game. But one team I do have circled here, it's also AL East, which puts us kind of in that likely playoff, you know, the extended playoff, which – in a perfect world, I'd like to stay away from. But what about this Red Sox team? Plus 1,200 right now. I think that just that tough start to the season that they had, sure enough, they're in second place. I mean, could they actually reel in the Yankees 12 and a half back? I doubt it. But they got a, what, 2.5 kind of, I want to say, quote-unquote comfortable lead in the wild card race, but sitting at 43-33, this lineup, Ben, that home field advantage that the Red Sox always have, they're getting better relief pitching as well and from the starters. So watch out for this Red Sox team. You're looking to take a swing for the fences here, Ben. Plus 1,200, risk 100 to win 1,200 bucks. I'd circle the Red Sox for you.
Completely agree, Drew. That's my focus in the American League pennant market right now because the numbers are so relatively short on both the pinstripes and the Stros. I don't even care if Boston makes a run at the Yanks at the top of the American League East as long as they're an AL wild card team. And then this is a postseason price, the 12-1 number on Boston to win the American League. Boston was 11-20 straight up on May the 12th. Since then, a team that is now 43-33, 32-13, one of the best marks in all of the majors. So that 12-1 price is intriguing on Boston, no doubt. All right, we flip it over to the National League. Drew, yesterday we saw runs aplenty between the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. Philly winning at home 14-4 over Atlanta. But let's use this one game for a bigger picture discussion. Early in the year, Drew, unders across the board in Major League Baseball, pretty much on a daily basis. Now overs are starting to come back in trend. Philly, the highest over percentage in the league. Atlanta, the fifth highest over percentage in all of the bigs. Are you seeing that on your daily baseball bets? Overs starting to be the play?
It's interesting you bring that up, Ben. I mean, just doing some research coming into this season. And guys, if you're not familiar, there's humidifiers brought into all 30 MLB stadiums. This year is right. The first year that happened. So kind of doing research on the baseball. Is it a new baseball? Is it not? Rob Manfred kind of being tight-lipped with that. Instead, I looked at, you know, how the ball travels with humidifiers in play at all the ballparks. And sure enough, it kind of depends what the weather is outside. So a humidifier being used in cold weather is really going to suppress the distance that the ball travels. Depending what report you want to go off of, it could actually affect it 3.5 feet on a ball hit 400 feet in the air with cold weather. However, when that weather warms up, Ben, and I don't think that the markets are going to be fully in tune with this, although, you know, you got to kind of pick your spots here because it's going to happen over the course of, you know, a baseball season where there's a lot of games being played. So if the unders were hitting, which they were at one point in the season, at 60%. Now, if we're getting overs at maybe, you know, 53%, that could be an edge to be had for us as sports bettors. And sure enough, as the weather warms up, the ball travels further using humidifiers. So it kind of affects the baseball and how far it travels, what the weather is outside. And yes, to answer your question, kind of a long answer here, Ben. Yes, it is absolutely kind of affecting how I'm betting totals. And I'm kind of pumping the brakes, especially in the ballparks where it's very warm outside. You know, the domes, not so much. I don't think it changes as we get into summer. But these open air stadiums where it's very hot, you know, the Floridas, the Atlantas, the St. Louis's of the world, I'm going to start looking to bet more overs, Ben.
And this was the guy in Drew Martin that during basketball season in college hoops was displaying that handicapping expertise as it comes to the playing ball that they use. He let you know that Auburn with a Wilson basketball did not score nearly as or scored more than they did with a Nike basketball. Some of the best handicapping you will find anywhere around. Keep an eye on both the Braves and the Cardinals, who Drew mentioned, for those warm open air environments. The Cards only a game back of the Brewers in the National League Central. They're plus 140 in that division. Atlanta has made up some of the ground in the National League East. They are plus 160 now from an odds perspective, only 3.5 games back. It's one of those members, Drew, the St. Louis Cardinals in Paul Goldschmidt. That's your front runner, your favorite for National League MVP at plus 175 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This point of the year, Drew, the first day of July, as we go through these summer months in Major League Baseball, how do you evaluate an individual award race like a one for the most valuable player?
That's a great question because actually I've done some more kind of work on this overall, whether it be Cy Young Awards or MVP awards. One thing I like to work in, because I'm a guy that was holding up pretty large ticket on Sandy Alcantara to win the NL Cy Young. The only problem is I bet it last year at $100 to win 20,000. So sure enough, I'm holding kind of Not much in my hand right now. But one thing I learned from it, guys, is you kind of got to remember voting on these MVPs, voting on these Cy Young Award winners. It's like the Heisman Trophy. It's not going to come down to, oh, who has the highest OPS? Oh, who's hit the most home runs? No, it's human beings voting on it. So you want to kind of have who's going to be in vogue at the end of the season, who's going to be being talked about towards, you know, playoff time. And sure enough, we get Paul Goldschmidt. They're right in a race in the NL Central. They're, if I had to pick, I think that they are going to make the playoffs. We get the St. Louis Cardinals as an organization. They have the following. They kind of have that bringing eyeballs to the game type of atmosphere. And I bring up Sandy Alcantara from last season because he was on the Marlins. He was having a great season when you put him up against the other Cy Young candidates, but nobody was talking about him because the Marlins were 20 games out of the playoffs. So that's one thing I would kind of maybe say, like, what I've learned from doing this as my straight job, Ben, is make sure you remember that aspect about betting kind of odds to win these awards. So Goldschmidt at the top, he is kind of checking some of those boxes, Ben, in terms of, yes, he absolutely could win this award.
A great point. Make sure you correlate not only the markets and the odds perspective, but the narratives and storylines that surround team success leading to individual success in those awards races. Sandy Alcantara right now the favorite to win the National League Cy Young at plus 180. Drew, a couple of great series on the slate for this holiday weekend, including out in Los Angeles between the two top teams in the National League West, the Dodgers and the Padres. LA taking game number one of this series yesterday, 3-1 against the Fathers. A heavy favorite today with the man known as Goose, Tony Gonsolin, on the bump at minus 174, Drew. Only a couple of seconds left here, but what's the biggest price you're willing to pay on a heavy favorite?
I usually pump the brakes starting around minus 140, Ben. I just don't like laying these huge numbers, especially against a team like the Padres. I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres were actually, you know, going toe-to-toe with the Dodgers all the way through. So you really want to be risking, what, $170 to win 100? At least not time in, time out. However, you do have the pitching advantage here with Gonsolin on the hill. Dodgers are a little bit banged up, though, Ben, so watch out with that. I definitely wouldn't lay the number here, though.
That plus money price, always attractive on the other side. Drew Martin Betts breaking it down in the bigs. We appreciate your time as always, Drew. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
Back at you, Ben. Knock them out. Cash those tickets.
Same to you, my friend. One final best bet before the week comes to a close up next here on The Morning After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 2 hours together here. Live on The Morning After on this Friday, Sirius XM channel 159, the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM, all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on this wild Friday on The Morning After. So much to get to end out this week, to start off a new month now in July, when the final day of June was as hectic on the sports calendar as we can expect in this later portion of the summer months, or at least in the middle of the summer, in what should be a pretty quiet time in the world of sports, with not all that much happening on the actual playing surfaces. We got a ton of news off those playing surfaces. The Big Ten adding USC and UCLA for 2024, changing the landscape of college sports as we know it. Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets, they don't seem like they'll be partners anymore. KD requesting a trade yesterday. All of that a part of NBA free agency. So much going on into your holiday weekend, including an old staple, history, tradition, the corner of Surf and Stillwell for the hot dog eating contest, where the man known as Jaws, Joey Chestnut, looks to defend the mustard belt. So before we say farewell for this week, entering your holiday weekend, before we say goodbye, it's time for a hot dog eating contest best bet. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. I hope the FanDuel Sportsbook will post these odds come Monday morning on July 4th for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. Again, on Coney Island, but there are some odds up in the marketplace, so we can use them as a barometer to get ready. Now, Joey Chestnut's like a minus 5,000 favorite against the rest of the field to defend that Mustard belt. But the over-under for hot dogs and buns consumed in that 10-minute competition span is 74.5. Joey Chestnut over this number by a dog and a half last year, 76. He just keeps setting records. He'll do so again on the corner of Surf and Stillwell on Monday morning, over 74.5. We're not going to be here Monday, so I had to give you the bye-bye-bye best bet right now. Enjoy your holiday weekend. The morning after is back on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. I'm Ben Stevens, and we'll talk then.